Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
Some of you have been asking about my mom. I appreciate you asking. She fell at 3 o'clock in the morning 2 days ago and going to the restroom and broke her hip and her femur. So she had to have surgery, and she's kind of getting back to normal a little bit because she asked my brother for a stack of quarters so she could give tips to all the nurses. She was going to up it. She said, I'm going to give him 50 cents this time. So I said, yeah, that's great. But anyway, she's not doing well. So I'm going to be, I was supposed to be leaving today to go to Turkey to speak and at a big missions conference, but I've canceled that trip, and I'm going to be heading up to High Point. Today, we're going to have to transition my mom to a nursing home, and which is part of the unit she's already in. They have, that's the next tier, and she understands she's got to do that, and so that's half the battle right there. And but I appreciate your prayers, because it's never easy to go through those transitions with a 94-year-old. And I appreciate your prayers. You know, in this big story that we're doing, last week we talked about the fall of the human race. And the bad news from that story is the fact that you and I have to continue to live in a world that struggles with sin, and we have to struggle with it. We have to deal with it every single day. But the good news is that we're going to learn that from this story today, that God has not abandoned us. And he set forth the plan that is going to bring us back to him. And fortunately for us, we're on the other side of that plan, in that we are on the other side of Jesus's coming to the to the world and coming. Well, he did come to the United States for the gospel. I don't know why I said that. But anyway, that he came to the world with the gospel, and we now have a relationship with God. So that's the good news. But God started that process way back in the Old Testament. And he uses the Old Testament to teach us a lot about God and a lot about himself, and introducing the whole idea of what his son was going to do. So as we talk today, here's the challenge. Some of you, you know, most of you are believers, but many of you, even as a believer, you're halfway in. You're part of the way in. And what I mean by that is you have your salvation. That's not in question, but you're not all in with your life. You hold back part of it. And it's like you've got God in your life, but he's not your whole life. And when he's not your whole life, that means you're holding things back. You're not all in. You're not really trusting him. And so as we're looking at the story of Abraham, there's going to be some important things in this story that will teach us what it means to be all in. Now, Abraham was one of the most significant personalities in the Bible. He was a foreshadowing of Jesus. God called him to become the patriarch of God's own people. He was referred to as a friend of God. He was the beginning of the whole Jewish race. In James chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And it so happened, just as Scripture said, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith." He was even called the friend of God. So Abraham played a huge role in Hebrew history and in this whole drama of salvation. Through Abraham's life, God revealed this thing called covenant, and which was the culmination in the work of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's where it all came together. Abraham holds a key place in the unfolding narrative in the Bible and the history of Israel. So with Abraham, God narrows his plan for the world down to a specific person. He's done that many times. He did that with Noah. I mean, he saved humanity through one man with Noah. And now with Abraham, he brings this idea of a covenant. He brings the story of Jesus through one man. And you and I are a product of that. God did not take applications in choosing who that person was going to be. God made that decision. In fact, often God is referred to in the Bible as the God of Abraham. So the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 provides the basis for understanding what circumcision is all about, the promised land, what that's all about, the work of Christ, faith in the gospel. So let's begin with Genesis 12, the story of Abraham. Now, there's a huge story of Abraham, and in 30 minutes, we can only touch the surface about this guy named Abraham. So in verse 1, the Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you." So basically God says, pack your bags and go. I'll show you as you go. I will always give you enough information to take the next step. This is still the pattern of God. He leads us to things that require faith on our part. When God says to you, pack your bags and go, and he gives us very little information, it's always a requirement of faith on our part to even begin the journey. And so God doesn't tell us a lot. So the plan will lead to a blessing. This plan of God is going to lead to a blessing for all people through Abraham. He says, I will make you. Now, God does give Abraham a big picture of this. He said, you know, end result, here's the end result. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. Here we are, millenniums later, still talking about this guy. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed. Notice it didn't say, so Abraham got together with all of his best friends to get their opinion. Abraham went on a prayer retreat to see if this is real or not. No, the next day, Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed. And Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when this happened. I mean, 75, you're enjoying retirement, right? He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot and all of his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and he headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. And there he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the area, it was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and he said, I will give this land to your descendants. So Abraham might not even see that whole process. You know, God saying to him, said, you know, this is beginning something, and the end result is your descendants will have this land. And so Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to God who had appeared to him. I'm so thankful he didn't build an altar to himself. and say, look at how special I am. Don't live for the blessings the world tries to give you, the accolades that the world wants to hand out to you. Don't live for that. Centuries later, the Apostle Paul explained the full import of God's promise. And here's what he said. In the same way, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. This is in Galatians 3, 6 through 9. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God, we need to change the passage there. Galatians chapter 3. That says Genesis chapter 3. I don't know why. All right, that's Galatians chapter 3. Don't pay attention to the Genesis part. It's the right verse, wrong reference. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He chose to believe. The real children were not biological children. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. See, it's like you and I, we're family. We're a real family. We are brothers and sisters, not biologically, but spiritually. And that's what this is saying. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. Now pay attention to verse 9. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessings Abraham received because of his faith. That's huge. When you trusted Jesus Christ, you actually were sharing in the same blessing that Abraham received. This is amazing. In fact, Abraham's in the lineage of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. This is the record of the ancestors of Jesus, of the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. So this story actually begins very similar to Noah's story. You remember how in Noah's day, the world had just lost it? They had gone slap crazy and were wicked. We know something about that, don't we? The world was just full of wickedness. And so God chose one man. He chose Noah to save the human race, to continue that. And so Genesis 10 through 11 records the story of Noah's descendants and tells you that in a short amount of time, guess what? The world became wicked again. Now, there's this one family in the family line that really belonged to God, and that was the descendants of Shem. But it ends up in chapter 11 with them living in a place of adultery as well. So the final guy in that line is a guy named Terah. And he has one son, and his son is Abraham. He's called Abram then, but his name is Abraham. And Abraham is childless. Now, Terah's name literally means moon, which in Hebrew metaphor, that means the end. So it's almost like it all ends with you. This godly line had given itself to idolatry, and Abraham was childless. So it looks like it was time for God to destroy the world again. But he didn't. God chose to do something very different and something that cannot be explained in human terms. He calls out Abraham, and he gives him this promise that he will bless him. And more than that, He will make their name great by making them a blessing to the whole earth. And like Noah, Abraham found grace in the eyes of God because he chose to have faith in God. And the promise of blessing was an explicit promise of the coming of the Messiah. So yeah, the whole world was blessed through Abraham. And like Noah's Ark, this Messiah would shield his people from the wrath of God. Everybody in the ark was safe from the wrath of God. When you pray to receive Christ, you go into the ark of Jesus. And you're protected from the wrath of God that's going to come and deal with this wicked world we live in. And so Noah, age 75, his wife was in her 60s, and they're told that they're going to have a son, and they're sitting there going, hey, that ain't going to happen. And Abraham and Sarah decided God needed their help. So Sarah brought Hagar, her handmaiden, and said, have a child with her, and then that way we can bail God out. And that story does not end well. He had Ishmael through Hagar, and that has been a problem ever since. All of the issues in Israel, in the Middle East, everything that's going on, can all be traced back to this one decision. When man decided he was going to help God out. God doesn't need your help. But we have been living with that ever since. So then, Abraham and Sarah, God kept his promise. God loves to do things when it's obvious he's the one that had to do it. And they have a miracle baby. And his name was Isaac, which means son of laughter, because when Sarah heard that she was going to have a baby, she laughed. I mean, really, the whole thing's funny. Imagine, you know, on your birthday, your baby and the mother of the baby both have to have diapers as gifts. Just saying. So here before we continue in the story, I just want to point out four crucial things for you. This was written by a pastor friend, and I thought it was so great. I just wanted to share these thoughts with you. Four crucial things to understand about following God and experiencing the plan he has for your life. Number one, following God means venturing into the unknown. I'll show you the land that you've never seen, you've never been there, you don't know where it is, but I'm going to show you. Following God means that you're willing to venture into the unknown. God says to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. That's not possible. And God did it. And later in his life, God will say to Abraham, I want you to go to the top of the mountain and I want you to sacrifice that son. Following God means venturing into the unknown. I like the way one writer put it. He said, following God means you just close your eyes and take his hand and let him guide you. Maybe that's what some of you need to do now. You need to just shut your eyes and take God by the hand and say, my life is yours. I'll go wherever you lead me. The second thing, follow me on this. This is important. God's calling to salvation, which he called you to salvation, and his commissioning you into mission or ministry is the same, is all one and the same. It's all one and the same. When God called Abraham, it was also his commissioning. When God called Moses, it was also his commissioning. When Jesus called the disciples, it was also their commissioning. When Jesus called Paul, it was also his commissioning. When God called you into a saving relationship with him through Jesus Christ, it was also your commissioning with, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. I'm giving you spiritual gifts. I have a purpose for your life. I have a plan for your life. And my saving you includes a purpose for your life. God is like a spiritual tornado. He never pulls you in without spitting you out. The more grace God shows you in saving you, the more plans he has to use you. Number three, you are blessed so that you can be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. Is that how you see the blessings in your life? Or do you see your blessings as more of a reservoir for you to accumulate and have things for you? Or do you see yourself more as a channel that God's blessings come to you and then you channel it to someone else? I really believe this. God wants you to come to the end of your life with nothing else to give. In other words, he wants you to be used up. I want to come to the end of my life and my balance in my checkbook is zero. And I mean that about my life period. There's no more checks to write. I want to come to the end of my life and there's nothing left to give. I do not want to come to the end of my life with any of this. I wish I had. Oh, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I follow God in this area? Why didn't I say yes? Why did I make it all about me? I want to come to my end of my life completely spent. That's a life well lived. You are a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. Number four, to receive the blessing and become the blessing, you have to take your hands off of everything and make God your trust and his kingdom your delight. I have to get to that place where I stop hanging on to stuff and I open up my hands and I trust it to God and I take and cling to his kingdom. God has blessed me to be a blessing for his delight. Abraham could have easily said, but things are so good. And Abraham could have said, I think I'm just going to stay where I'm comfortable. And then we would have never heard the name Abraham. Number five, to become the blessing, you have to believe the impossible. Abraham had to believe that it was possible for Sarah to get pregnant. And he had to believe it to the point that he splashed cologne on his 100-year-old body and put on some Marvin Gaye to start a family. For you to follow God, you have to believe that he can save you. For your life to be a blessing, you have to believe that he can use you. And for you to be used up, you have to obey. Genesis chapter 22. We come to there's so many stories about Abraham I could tell you, but this one captures it. This one so relates to Jesus. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God said, yes, he replied, here I am. Same phrase that Moses used when God called his name from the burning bush, and Moses says, here I am. Same thing that Abraham said at the beginning of this relationship with God when God called his name and he said, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. Already you can see this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah and go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Go and I'll tell you when you get there. The next morning, Abraham got up early. Now, I would imagine Abraham didn't sleep a wink that night. The Bible doesn't tell us, but how could he have? Did I misunderstand God? Is this a cruel joke? Why would God do something like this? The guy was human. He had to have those kind of questions. But the important thing was, the next morning he got up and left. See, it's okay to have questions. It's okay to doubt. But at the end of the day, you got to get up and go and do what God's told you to do. Or you'll miss how God wants to use you to bless others. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He didn't sleep. I can only imagine. He saddled his donkey and he took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire and a burnt offering and set out to the place God had told him about. On the third day, three's an important number, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. So he told his servant, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will travel a little further and we will worship there, and then we will come right back. Maybe that was just wishful thinking on his part to say, we will come back. I don't know. I do believe he really knew he was going to have to go through this thing. Otherwise, it's not faith. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulder, just like God placed a cross on the back of his son, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and he said, Father, yes, my son, we have fire in the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Jesus would become that sacrificial sheep, that lamb. Abraham said, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. He didn't know then it was going to be Jesus. He really thought it was going to be his son. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, I want you to see this picture through the eyes of Isaac. He's a young dude, and his dad's an old guy. He could have fought back. Oh, he could have just started running. No way Abraham was going to catch him. But he willingly got on the altar, just like Jesus was willing to go to the cross. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. I believe he raised it up, ready to plunge it into his heart. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Imagine God in that moment having this conversation with Abraham, thinking, and I'm not going to withhold my son either. In fact, the day would come when God the Father would raise his knife over Jesus on the cross, and no angel would stop him or stand in the way. And God would plunge that knife deep into the heart of Jesus, actually into his own heart. He would wear a crown of thorns, and he would be sacrificed in our place so that we could go free. Now, I want to show you some images. First of all, is the Dome of the Rock. It's a very recognizable picture in the city of the old city of Jerusalem. And whenever you see Jerusalem, that's the first thing you see. It stands out. And this is up on the Temple Mount where the temples were, Solomon's temple and the temple that Herod built. And only Muslims are allowed to go inside this dome. But back in 74, when I was in Israel, non-Muslims were allowed to go, so I got to go in. So I can show you inside that dome, here's what it is. There's the rock. The evidence is overwhelming that this would have been the spot that Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac. Now, the Muslims believe that that's the rock that Abraham would sacrifice Ishmael. And within just yards of this would be the Holy of Holies one day. And when the real sacrifice happened, when Jesus was taken to a hill and nailed to a cross, and his life was snuffed out of him, the Holy of Holies curtain was ripped from top to bottom. So close in proximity to each other, we don't know how close, maybe on top of each other, I don't know. The man Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, and God stopped him, and then God himself chose to sacrifice his son. So Abraham is telling us the story of God, the story of Jesus. See, Jesus was the real Abraham. Isaac is the picture of Jesus who would be sacrificed. And as a result of all of this, we're told that God loves you and me because he was not willing to withhold his own son for us. And so we're asked by God to go all in because he went all in for us. I want to ask you two questions. Let them sink in. Is what you are living for right now worth him dying for? Jesus died for you. So how you're living your life right now, and what you are living for, is it worth him dying for? Because if it's selfish, it's wanton. Is what you are doing with your life right now worthy of the magnitude of the sacrifice of God for you? Let that sink in. Is what you are doing with your life right now and what you are living for right now, is it worthy of his sacrifice? Is it worthy of the magnitude of his sacrifice? I want my life to be spent to its last drop, doing what's worthy of his sacrifice for me. Which means I have to stop living for me. I challenge you as believers to close your eyes, take the hand of Jesus, and trust that he's going to lead your life where it needs to go. Wherever he leads, I will go. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice you made. And Jesus, you used Abraham and Isaac to illustrate what you are going to do. And we're all children from Abraham's family. We're all children from Abraham's family. Let me live a life that is worthy of your sacrifice. Let my life be fully spent when I breathe my last. Let my life not be a waste. Let my life not be selfish. Let it be all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be here at the front. If you want to come and just say, Pastor, I really want to be all in. I really do want to learn to close my eyes and take the hand of Jesus and just follow. I really want my life to be spent for his glory. I don't want it to be a waste. You come and give me the privilege of praying with you. Let's stand as we sing.